to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper. Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we can also be heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio, and that is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor. And there's many great Bible teachers on that network, and so I encourage you to stop over there too. And I want to give a big hello to all my listeners around the world. Thank you for listening. Anyway, today we have a story. This story broke last week, actually. Benny Hinn was raided. His offices in Texas. He has some offices there outside of the Dallas area. And anyway, last week, his offices were raided by the IRS and by the postal inspector. So they had a search warrant. And they went in. There was carloads of them, according to the reports on the news. And they were there for the first day. They were there for about 9 hours. And then they even came back the next day. They took out boxes and boxes and boxes of documents. So, no telling what they were looking for, really. No telling. But I guess we'll find out, because in order for them to go in like this, the way they did, they have to have a search warrant, which means they have to have probable cause to go in. And so something was going on that piqued their interest. And they decided that they were going to raid the place. And I guess it gave Benny, you never want to see that. You never want to see carloads of federal agents pulling up and they're dressed with their gear. They have their shirts on and they're descending upon your offices. So I guess Benny was shaking in his boots over there in France when he heard that this raid was happening. But I like to ask Benny Hinn, I like to say, Benny, how come you're not afraid of God? You should be more afraid of God than you are of the government agencies, because, for instance, Benny, you continually have people on your This Is Your Day television program telling people to send money to you, and in return for sending you seed faith donations, that God will give them miracles, God will heal their bodies, He will give them debt cancellations, He will give them salvation for their children, among many other things that you peddle there on your This Is Your Day network. But why, Benny, I want to know why you don't tell people the truth, because everything we need from God is freely given through prayer. And it has nothing to do with sowing seeds to some evangelist, so-called. with promises of returns, because we can't promise people anything as far as the area of giving, that we're going to get things back better, bigger and better, and we're never going to have any financial problems. That's just not true. So only God can bless people. And he knows exactly what it's going to take to keep us faithful, to keep us from backsliding, because Jesus said it himself. He said it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So I guess if Jesus said it, right? Jesus said it. Then I guess he knows what he's talking about, since Jesus said it. But there's a few scriptures here, Ecclesiastes 12:14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So eventually, God, who is rich in mercy, and he gives everybody a chance to repent. And I know that the Lord has been merciful to Benny Hinn and given him many chances to repent to the body of Christ for his scamming, yet he doesn't repent. So it's like Luke 8:17 says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Luke 12:3, therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Mark 4:22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be made manifest, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Psalm 44:21, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. God knows, and you can't hide anything. You can't hide anything, because 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring light to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. That's what God says. So sometimes we think we're hiding things, and you may be able to hide it for a while, but sooner or later, your sin will find you out. And it's better to repent in your closet than to have your life brought forth in the newspapers and on the news reports. And no, you don't want that. That's why it's better to repent in your secret place and get your life right with God, because you don't want the whole world to know what's been going on behind closed doors. You just don't want that. So here's Ecclesiastes 10. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So you see, Benny, he thinks he has a reputation for wisdom and honor, but in other words, it stinks because he also is a man full of folly. And so, oh dear, what's going to happen from all this? I'm sure something, because they didn't just go in there on a whim. Trust me, they didn't. So I don't know what it is. I have no clue. I was surprised as anybody else. And also the Ecclesiastes says, curse not the king, no, not in the... curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. So you say things in secret, and you think, oh, it's never going to be told, but it could be told. It could be told, because God says, when pride comes, then comes destruction. So it'll be very, very interesting in the days ahead to see what happens with Benny at his offices there in Dallas. Anyway, so I'm going to play the audio of the news report from last week. It made quite a bit of headlines, and so here's the news report.
Benny Hinn's office for hours today. It is a pretty nondescript building off 121 near DFW International Airport in Grapevine, right off the highway there. News 8's Lauren Zakalik also there tonight, and you have been speaking with investigators.
Yeah, Izzy, you know, we're at the close of business day, and the feds are still here at the Benny Hinn Ministries office in Grapevine. They've been here since 9 a.m. serving a search warrant. Those white trucks you see right behind me, they showed up late this afternoon, and we saw investigators carry boxes from inside the trucks into the building. Now, what they're looking for specifically, they are not saying at this hour. What we do know is that both the IRS Criminal Investigations Department and the U.S. Postal Inspection Police are here on scene. A federal source tells us this has been a lengthy investigation. State documents show us this is indeed Benny Hinn's office. Now, on record, an IRS special agent would not say what this specific search warrant is in regards to, but he did tell us the IRS criminal investigation typically looks into tax evasion and general fraud against the government.
Today, we are here on official business. We are conducting a search warrant on the premises, and fortunately, that's basically all I can tell you today.
Now, Benny Hinn is a well-known televangelist. You might have seen him on TV. He has made millions of dollars in his work. He is known for his so-called healing services, where he heals people from maladies during church. Now, people who work nearby were very curious when they saw authorities show up today, knowing full well this was Benny Hinn's office.
The next thing we knew, there was probably a row of cars, 10, 20 cars just flooded in. Next thing you know, the guys jumped out in their in their vests or whatever police vests, and just all of them stormed into the office.
Now, according to Benny Hinn's online social media presence and schedule, it says that he is in Paris right now. We did call his office for comments, and we were given a no comment. Reporting live in Grapevine, Lauren Zakalik, Channel 8 News.
On that note, Lauren, Benny Hinn has been the subject of controversy in the past. Back in 2000, News 8 spoke with a family who disputed Hinn's claims that he could provide healing for people who are sick. Coming up on News 8 at 6, hear from a man who has spent more than two decades looking into the expansive ministries of Benny Hinn.
Well, that's it. So I guess they were in the state of shock over there. I guess they were in the state of shock. And then, of course, Charisma News, compromising Charisma, who's all over the place. I mean, I don't know why they gave this guy a platform anyway. They did a news report themselves about Benny Hinn responds. He remains confident in the days ahead. After the Internal Revenue Service and postal inspectors raided the headquarters earlier this week. And, what's he going to say? As has been widely reported, Benny Hinn's ministry is cooperating fully with the government entities. Well, you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice at this point. You know, you have to cooperate. Otherwise, you're in big trouble. Because you have to tell the truth when they question you, especially after they raid you. They are reviewing, it says, certain operations of the church. And it says the ministry has undergone intense scrutiny before, which they have. They have. They've been in the news many, many times. Also, you know, two good books out that people have done kind of exposés on Benny Hinn. The Personal Freedom Outreach, I think it's PFO.org. They have some articles about Benny Hinn. They also wrote a book, I think it's called The Confusing World of Benny Hinn. And that's out there. And actually, you know, Benny's real name is not Benny. His real name is Tewfik. And he was born in Jaffa. His Tewfik Benedictus Hinn. That's his name, Benny. But I guess nobody really wants the name Tewfik. So, and Benedictus, that's why he calls himself Benny anyway. So, and also there's another book out by a brother called Yves Brault, and it's called Fake Faith Healers. So those are two books that were done, exposés really, on Benny Hinn. And also, you know, Benny's got some strange practices. He claims that he goes to the grave of Catherine Kuhlman and that he lays on top of the grave. Now, you can't go lay on a grave and pick up somebody's anointing because they're dead. Anyway, whose anointing is it anyway? It's the Lord's anointing. So we don't have anything outside of ourselves. It's the Lord's anointing. So I don't understand why anyone wants to go lay on somebody's grave to pick up some anointing. Who does that? Who does that? I know none of you do it, and I certainly am not going to do it, but they've got all these kind of crazy practices. You know, they call it charismania, and it is charismania practices of laying on top of graves. Oh, dear. I'm telling you, Lord help us, really. Lord help us. He's not saved. No, Benny Hinn's not saved. Save people, first of all, don't scam people. And save people that run legitimate ministries, don't get raided by the IRS and the postal inspector. No, that doesn't happen because you don't have anything to be afraid of. Benny. Anyway, federal agents raided the ministry headquarters in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area April 26th. The raid occurred while Hinn was abroad in Paris. In 2007, Hinn was one of the TV evangelists investigated by the Senate Finance Committee. Senator Chuck Grassley led the investigation. It says all were cleared. They weren't clear. Nobody was cleared, actually. They just didn't continue the investigation. That's a misprint there. But anyway, whether or not the government investigates you, I wouldn't want to be Benny Hinn on Judgment Day. You know, I wouldn't want to be Benny on Judgment Day because it's not going to be pretty for Benny. But yet he continues with his lying and his scamming, and he wants people to feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him at all. I don't feel sorry for him. No, I don't feel sorry for him. God's given him every opportunity. He had a large church in the Orlando area for many years. And according to the newspaper reports, it was a 44-acre piece of property that he sold to Clint Brown, who was a protege of Rod Parsley's, like father, like son, right? And anyway, Clint Brown went and bought the property after Benny decided he had to get out of Orlando. Well, he was blaming the news media. He said in an interview that I heard that the news media there just wouldn't leave him alone. They were always investigating him, and they were standing out in front of his house. And I knew a man, and his name, I think, was Rob Johnston or Bob Johnston, something like that. He wrote the book Lie of the Tithe. And anyway, he used to go and pick it in front of Benny Hinn's house, and he used to go and pick it in front of his church. And Benny had these thugs that he hired, and they used to harass these people. Yeah, they used to harass them and threaten them and whatever, because he didn't want people standing outside his so-called church with signs calling him a scam artist or whatever. But anyway, there was a, I think it was News Channel 6 in Orlando, and you can go on YouTube and you can see some of these videos for yourself. There's a video of Benny Hinn, and he's supposedly in Jordan. Anyway, News Channel 6, which is a very reputable news channel in the Orlando area, and I think the man's name, the reporter, was Joe Pepitone, something like that. I can't remember, but I think it was Joe Pepitone. But anyway, Joe was always doing these exposés on Benny Hinn. So they followed him. He had a news crew follow him to Jordan. And you'll see the videos on YouTube. You can see it. If you put into the YouTube search engine, if you put Benny Hinn smokes hookah. And for you that don't know what a hookah pipe is, it's a Middle Eastern pipe. It has a big bowl in the middle, and then it has hoses that stick out of the pipe. And it could have 5 hoses, 10 hoses, because people sit around and they usually it's used for smoking hash or marijuana. That's what it's usually used for. I don't know what Benny was using it for on the day, because they didn't go up to the pipe. They did film him passing the pipe, the hookah, to his singer, Steve Brock, and his personal assistant, David Delgado, who later died of a heroin overdose. Okay, this is Benny Hinn's personal assistant, died of a heroin overdose. And also, there was another heroin overdose death of someone that worked for the Benny Hinn Ministry. This was back, I think, in the 1990s, if I'm not mistaken. But you can see, you can go on the internet and read the news reports. It was reported, and the video is there. You will see Benny Hinn holding the hookah hose in his hand, and he passes it to Steve Brock, and Steve Brock puts it in his mouth and inhales and then blows out the smoke, and then Dave Delgado, the man that the personal assistant now, let me remind you, Benny Hinn's personal assistant. Now, how do you not know someone's on heroin? Did you ever see people that were high on heroin? It's hard to believe that you could be with someone as often as you would be with them if they were your personal assistant and not know they were high. Because usually people that do heroin, their eyes are droopy, they're sleepy. They're dopey. So I don't know how he didn't know something was wrong with this guy. Dies of a heroin overdose. So, but you'll see it there, Benny passing the hookah pipe. Now, let me ask you a question. What minister of the gospel smokes a hookah pipe? I don't even have one, and I wouldn't even go near one. I don't have any friends that would smoke a hookah pipe. So what was Benny doing sitting in a garden with a hookah pipe? I don't know. But like I said, News Channel 6 did take the footage. They brought it back to Orlando and they played it on the news. Well, yet Benny, if you listen to Benny says News Channel 6 was harassing me. Well, they weren't harassing you. They were reporting on the fact that you were smoking a hookah pipe. So why do you call that harassment? If you want to be a public figure, and you want to portray yourself as a man of God and a minister of the gospel, then don't have any secrets. Like, don't have a secret life. Then you don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry about a private investigator following me around because they're not going to find anything. Because when I go out, usually I'm going to the grocery store or something, you know. So, what's he worried about, Benny? You know, what are you worried about? He was blaming. He said, I had to get out of Orlando because the news media just wouldn't leave me alone. Well, I guess it was a little suspicious, the goings-on, what was going on over there. I guess it was a little suspicious. I guess the news media thought at the time it was a good story, which it was, for an investigative reporter. It was. There was a funny thing that Randy White had posted, and Randy White was married to Paula White at one time, remember? And then remember Benny and Paula got caught together in Rome? The National Enquirer followed them to Rome. Leave it up to the National Enquirer, right? So the National Enquirer, a few years ago, I'm not sure when it was, 2008, 2010, can't remember, but anyway, that story's on the internet too. The National Enquirer follows Benny and Paula to Rome, and Paula was divorced from Randy, and Benny wasn't even divorced. He was in the process of getting a divorce from his wife at the time, Suzanne. They've since remarried, and so Benny and Paula get photographed by the National Enquirer holding hands as they're walking down the street in Rome. But Benny says that they were just friends, and friends hold hands. Well, I don't think so. I don't know. Do you walk down the street with your, if you're a woman, with your male friend holding hands? I don't think so. But they were trying to deny that anything was going on. And when asked, Benny said that he was in Rome at the request of the Vatican, that the Vatican had invited him because he was a patron of the arts. Now, here, this is another funny thing that I don't understand. Why would any minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ want any connection with the Vatican? Why? But Benny claims that he became a patron of the arts of the Vatican, that he was donating money to the Vatican so that they could restore the works of Michelangelo. Yeah, he was taking ministry money that people were donating to his ministry, and then he was giving it to the Vatican? You can't make this stuff up. You can't. And yet people are still supporting him. People are still sending him money. He's still on so-called Christian television and Charisma magazine gives him a full page to, give a sob story about people picking on him. But who would do that? Who does things like that? Who goes? I'm certainly not going to Rome and giving any of my money to the Vatican. Who has more money than the Catholic Church? Nobody. Nobody. There's nobody richer in the world than the Catholic Church. They don't need any money. They have plenty of money. Did you ever see those gold chalices they drink out of? Did you ever see the clothes the Pope wears? It's embroidered in gold and encrusted in jewels. Let him sell one of his dresses. You have to donate money to the Catholic Church. It's ridiculous. Especially someone that calls himself an evangelist of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, I'll play a clip here from Benny that he talks about. When he went to Rome with Paula, here's how Benny explained.
Right, who was a preacher, came to tape on This Is Your Day. It was actually the 24th of May. Tape for some programs like anybody else that come to tape. She's a preacher like anybody else. I've had women on my programs and men. and we've known each other. Her husband and her attended our church for 9 years when nobody knew Paula White. She was one of my church members. So we got to talk. She went through a painful divorce. I went through a painful divorce. We found common ground to talk about stuff we could help each other in. And a friendship did develop. But hear this. No immorality whatsoever. These people out there are making it sound like we had an affair. That's a lie. That's a total lie. Because the second you say affair, you think sex. There's no truth to that whatsoever. None. The Vatican did invite me a few days ago. They made me a patron of the arts in the Vatican 2 weeks ago. Now that's a fact. The patron of the arts means you support the Vatican so they can maintain all the work of Michelangelo. I'm one of the guys now that supports what they do. And that is a fact. I was there and we were taken around by a man named Wilhelm Kramer. And they asked me, literally they said, do you know people that can help us financially? I said, all right. Here's what I made my mistake. I let her come with me to Rome so she can donate money.
Thank you guys for allowing me to take a vacation. I found out you preach better if you get a little sand in your toes.
Yeah, he made a mistake by taking her with him. Yeah, he took her all right, and there you were holding hands as you were walking. Such a scam artist. What a scammer. I mean, I don't know if they were having an affair. How do I know? I don't know what went on in the, behind the scenes, so I'm not going to say because I don't have any evidence one way or the other. All I know is what I saw in the picture. And they didn't deny, they didn't sue, or supposedly Paula sued the National Enquirer, but who knows if that really happened. But at the end of that clip, you hear Paula explaining, she told the people of her church that she went on a vacation and she got sand in her toes, but she forgot to, she forgot to tell them that she was in Rome with Tufik. She didn't tell them that, but it came out in the National Enquirer. And the Bible says, I think it might be in Ecclesiastes. I can't remember, but there's a scripture where it says that a bird will tell the matter, will fly through the air and tell the matter. So you can't, you don't know. If you don't have anything to hide, you don't have anything to be afraid of. But isn't it ironic that the National Enquirer followed him to Rome? Oh, and all of a sudden, there's the picture on the front page. Oh, dear. But like I was saying before, Randy White, he posted this thing where Benny Hinn years ago prophesied to Randy and Paula when they were married about their ministry. And a friend of mine said, well, how come... How come if he was such a great prophet, he didn't prophesy that then later on he was going to be with his wife in Rome holding hands? Oh, dear. His ex-wife. Oh, my goodness. These people. Can you believe it, though? It's hard to believe, isn't it, that here we are in the year 2017. We're a little under 2,000 years from when Jesus walked the earth here. And he left us a Bible, and he calls us his body, the body of Christ, the church. And yet the church, with all the internet and with all the television and everything that we have, people still don't know the Bible. They're still following people like Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn is still earning a living, and he's... and saying that he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and he's getting people saved, but you can't get people saved when you're not saved yourself. But of course, God said, God did use a donkey. Remember, he did do that. So anyway, here's a audio of the news channel reporting on the heroin death that I told you about before. Dave Delgado, the former personal assistant of Benny Hinn, who died of a heroin overdose.
The High Files investigation, which revealed two heroin-related deaths within his ministry.
After returning from California this week, Hinn spoke to his employees about the public revelation. He also sent someone to talk to our pretty epic.
Benny Hinn had agreed to talk to us in person about his church, but canceled after seeing our report last week. Instead, he sent a spokesman who says Hinn is upset about that report, a report on the role of heroin in the death of his employees. His employees was David Delgado, one of Benny Hinn's personal assistants, the man helping Hinn into his jacket before a crusade appearance last year. This is video from last December, and what would be his last trip with Pastor Hinn. At the time, an Orange County homicide investigator was looking to question Delgado about the source of heroin that just weeks earlier had killed another employee of World Outreach Church, a man Hinn had trusted to babysit his children years ago. But the questioning never happened, because by the end of 1997, Delgado too was dead, a result of heroin abuse. In fact, Hinn's sensitivity to even being around tobacco smoke became apparent when he canceled an interview with us after seeing a portion of this amateur video of his trip to Jordan in our report last week.
Oh, dear. Oh, my goodness. What a cast of characters. Now, here is a short clip of Suzanne Hinn, Benny Hinn's wife at the time when they were pastoring their church in Orlando. And his wife, well, she admits that she had mental issues, and she was actually addicted to prescription drugs from being married to Benny. But here's what Suzanne...
If you're innocent, it's not enough. You know what you need? You need a Holy Ghost enema.
Let me play that for you again.
If you're innocent, it's not good enough. You know what you need? You need a Holy Ghost enema right up your spirit.
Thank you.
That was the pastor's wife addressing the congregation. Now, if I went to a church, if I got up one Sunday morning and I got myself dressed and everything, and then I got in my car and I drove over, and I'm sitting there waiting for the church service to start, and then the church service starts, and then the pastor's wife gets up and she tells me that I need a Holy Ghost enema right up my rear end. Excuse me for repeating it, but that's what she said. I'll tell you what. I wouldn't stand there and applaud like those people did, the hypnotized zombies in that church. He turned all those people into a bunch of zombies that they actually applauded. You heard it. They applauded her, and they laughed about it. No, I don't think that I would be applauding and laughing. I would get up and walk out and never come back. What kind of a place was that they were running over there? No wonder that they got out of town and sold it to Clint Brown, who later ran it into the ground, and it was sold at a foreclosure auction because Clint couldn't keep the thing going. And it was sold in 2014 to the Seventh-day Adventists, and Clint wound up in a high school, renting out a high school from his ministry, divorced and bankrupt because he lost his home, he lost his marriage. But yet, after, you know, it's amazing to me that they go through so much personal pain and crisis in their life, and yet stand up in front of people and repent and say, we're sorry. They're always blaming somebody else, the news media or the haters or the devil, but they don't want to get up publicly and repent on their own for what they're doing. But it's better to do that. It's better to do that and to try to get your life back on track with God and to let God give you a brand new start. Amen. But anyway, here, I thought this was an interesting clip that I picked up. Benny Hinn was walking through an airport, and some people were, and he had like three big, huge guys surrounding him, bodyguards, you know. But the people in the airport didn't even know who he was. There was one guy that knew who he was, and apparently he was a neighbor of Benny Hinn's. And he yells out to Benny, as Benny's walking by, he says, that's a scammer, Benny Hinn. Okay, this is a guy that's not even saved, and he knows he's a scammer. What's wrong with the church? But anyway, here's the video clip, and it is available on YouTube. And I think the title was something like Benny Hinn Scammer or something, but you can see it yourself. I'll show the audience. Of an unbeliever saying, yeah, he lives in my neighborhood. He's a big scammer. He's the biggest scammer going. Yeah, he knew it. He knew it. Anyway, I think this is the audio. I'm going to play it. I think this is the audio of Benny saying he's not going to go to heaven. Let's see if this is it. I'm trying to play it. It doesn't want to play. I don't know. I'm having issues with this computer today. Sometimes it puts your computer has programs that prevent things from popping up. Anyway, I can't get these audios to play now. Let me see. I'm going to try to refresh the page, but we'll talk about something else while I'm waiting. Don't you get frustrated when you want to do something on your computer, but your computer thinks it's protecting you by not letting you do what you want? And I'm thinking to myself, would you please let me do what I want? I can protect myself. Thank you very much. Okay, let's try it again.
Can I tell you what the Lord's been doing lately?
Please.
You know that a year ago this month, well, let's see, this is March, yeah. A year ago this month, I almost died.
Yeah.
Which was so sad. And, well, anyway.
I think you've done
that. But it was also plus.
No, no, I'm sorry. Please, I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at you.
No, no,
I'm sorry.
No, I just took care of myself physically.
Oh.
And I had a problem in my heart called AFib. My heart actually is very healthy. They told me I don't even have plaque.
I remember when they took you to hospital. Yes.
Well, I've always struggled with AFib, you know,
where
the heart beats bad and racist. And I just didn't bother taking care of myself.
Yeah.
And what happens with AFib sometimes is your heart starts to beat, you know, really fast. Mine went up to 260.
Wow.
I should have fainted and died.
That's terrible.
No, it went up to 260. Huh?
Frightening.
Yeah. And then what happened to my body, see, the heart is supposed to do this.
Yeah.
Mine was doing this.
Right.
And so...
Were you frightened?
Well...
Honestly?
When I was in the hospital, of course.
Yeah.
But, anyway, so my organs begin to fill up with fluids.
Yeah.
Because when the heart is doing this, it's not getting oxygen in, and the blood is not really flowing like it should. So you end up filling up with liquid.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize
that
had I been late one day, I would have been dead. My lungs were almost totally full of liquid.
I
couldn't walk from here to that camera because there was no space to breathe. Think about your lungs filling up,
really?
And you're not able to go literally. I couldn't walk from here to that camera.
Yes.
So when I was rushed in, my daughter Jessica took charge, thank God. She said, you're going now.
Yeah.
They rushed me to emergency, but the doctor looked at me, he said, you're going now. He did not even check me, that guy. He just looked at me.
Yeah.
But I'll never forget that moment as long as I live. When he grabbed my hand, he's a Filipino fiancé, an incredible guy, heart specialist. He grabbed my hand, almost wept. He said, I will not let you die. And that's when I realized, oh my God, I'm dying. I said, please, doctor, don't let me die. His words were exactly, I know who you are, I will not let you die. And he was weeping.
Now, honestly, and I know how close you are to the Lord, but in situations like that, okay, what were you thinking?
I was thinking, I'm not going to make heaven. No, I'm being honest, because
no, please, thank you,
the
please,
Bible
please,
says
honest.
Make your election sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, during that time of my illness, the one thought that was always in my mind is, will I be accepted, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, so, in the hospital...
But a lot of people might find that shocking, that Benny Hinn thought that.
Billy Graham thinks that, too. He talked about it when he was interviewed by Newsweek. They said, what do you think about most? He said, I think about will I make heaven.
Yeah.
Because it says so in the Bible, make your election sure. Don't play against it. It's the only thing you've got in life. And you'll have no lawyers helping you out there. Because, believe me, when she said this before God, you're by yourself, buddy. And I want to share with you something. Just I had a dream about this last week.
Yes.
It was shaking.
Yes.
But anyway, in the hospital, I saw the Lord in a dream.
Yeah.
He came in with two men. I don't know who they were.
Yeah.
I saw myself running over and bowing before him.
Yeah.
But the Lord saved my life, thank God, and I'm doing better than I've done in years, health-wise.
Yeah.
But what changed also greatly is my spiritual walk. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't know who you are. When you come face-to-face with death, it'll wake you up real fast.
It didn't wake him up. It didn't wake him up. Notice in that clip he says that he knew, he thought he was going to die, and he wanted to know if he was going to, he wasn't sure he was going to make heaven. I don't have any doubt that I'm going to heaven because I'm born again. Benny Hinn doesn't know if he's going to make heaven because he's not saved. And he knows he's not saved. And do you think that after he almost died of heart failure, because that's called congestive heart failure, what he has, and really there's no cure for it. After you're diagnosed with congestive heart failure, you usually your heart will give out eventually because your heart's starting to give out once you're diagnosed. And he says, oh, yeah, well, Billy Graham said the same thing. Well, Billy Graham did say that. I have the audio here, and I'm going to play it in a minute. When Billy Graham was asked by Larry King whether or not he was sure he was going to heaven, he wasn't sure either. Billy Graham. Can you believe it? It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. But those of us that have been born again, we know that we're saved. And we know that we're going to heaven. We know that. He doesn't know it. And he says, he claims that after he had this near-death experience that, oh, his life was changed, but it didn't change. If you go back and look at any of his recent television programs, most of the programs are scamming. He has one person on after another telling you to send money to buy miracles. It didn't change him one bit, his near-death experience. And it should. It should scare you. And just look at how merciful God was to him, that God spared his life and gave him another opportunity to repent. But did he? No. He went right back to scamming, right back to it. Anyway, here is the clip of Billy Graham saying, no, this is not that clip. This is Billy Graham actually agreeing with universalism. So I don't really have that clip. I know that I have it here somewhere, but that's not it. That's Billy Graham talking to Robert Schuller saying that God accepts everybody, which is a universalist tenet, that everybody in the end will be saved, whether they're born again or not. Here's Benny Hinn saying that Adam could fly. Let's play that.
I don't know whether people even know this, but he was the first Superman that really ever lived. First of all, the scriptures declare clearly that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly.
Whoa.
Well, of course, how can he have dominion over the birds and not be able to do what they do?
Whoa.
Actually,
I mean, wait a minute.
I'll prove it to you.
Wait a minute. Danny.
I've never heard that.
The word dominion in the Hebrew clearly declares that if you have dominion over a subject, that you do everything that subject does. In other words, that subject, if it does something you cannot do, you don't have dominion over it. I'll prove it further. Adam not only flew, he flew to space. He used to be, he was with one thought, he'd be on the moon.
And guess who's in the background agreeing with him at the time? Jan Crouch. Oh, yeah, Adam could fly. Yeah, Adam. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Could somebody please give me scripture? Oh, dear. Now, let's look at a few scriptures here. If you go to the King James Bible, because some of the other Bibles take words out, so I like the King James now. I don't get into arguments with people over Bible versions, but I do prefer the King James because I love the English, and they do use the word extortioner. I'm not sure if you'll find it in some of the modern day translations, but the word extortion and extortioner appears 8 times. The Bible actually talks about extortion. Psalm 109:11, let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Isaiah 16:4, let mine outcast dwell with thee, Moab. Be thou a covert to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. The spoiler ceaseth. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. Ezekiel 22:12. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increased, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. And that is a scripture for Benny Hinn, Ezekiel 22:12. You have greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and you have forgotten me. And here's Jesus telling people off. Matthew 23:25. Now he's telling the religious leaders of the day, and he's telling them right to their face, Jesus is saying this here, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup. Yeah, you look nice in your custom-made suits with your Rolex watches, but within you are full of extortion and excess. Luke 18:11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as the publican. 1 Corinthians 5:10, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out. Now notice this scripture here. Because, you know, you have these people telling you, don't judge. You're not supposed to judge anybody. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous, you know what it means to be covetous? It means that you want what other people have. Or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. The Bible says, don't keep company, don't have anything to do with. In other words, turn off the television, don't go to the church where the person is a fornicator, who's covetous, who's an idolater, who wants you to worship them and kiss their ring, and call them reverend and doctor and whatever, and not be able to call them by their name. Or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. So you have to make a judgment there. So these people that tell you that you can't judge anything, well, that's not what the Bible means. 1 Corinthians 6:10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't inherit the kingdom of God. They don't even belong in the kingdom of God, because there's no such thing as an extortioner in the kingdom of God. So if the Bible says it, let's see here in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that scripture. Purge out therefore, verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for Christ, even Christ our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. You know what a fornicator is. It's a fornicator is someone that has sex outside of marriage or is an adulterer. The Bible says don't keep company. Don't keep company. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out of the world again. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, which Benny Hinn is, and the rest of the seed faith hucksters out there. And verse 12, notice, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. We are supposed to judge those that are within the body of Christ or who call themselves brothers. That's what it says right here. Verse 13. But them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away, verse 13, from among yourselves that wicked person. So why do people want to turn these people? Why do they want to give them the time of day and pay these people any mind? The only thing that we should be saying to Benny Hinn is, ye must be born again. And you need to repent of your sins there, Benny, and get your life right with God, because then you don't have to be afraid if you die of heart failure, because you'll know where you're going. But at this point, you don't know where you're going. And the pitiful thing is, too, that Benny's he has two grown daughters that are married and have children. And they married these two men that are Benny Hinn clones. It's awful if you ever see these guys. They imitate their father-in-law, and they imitate the scamming. Oh, I mean, he's training them up in the way they should go. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. Could you imagine raising children like that? I can't. What mother wants to raise their son to be a scammer? Or their father wants to raise a son to be a scammer, like Benny Hinn's doing with his daughter's husbands, training them up. And he was even taking up an offering for one of them. Oh, let's take up an offering for my daughter. The guy is worth I don't know how many millions of dollars, and he's asking people to give money to his daughter and her husband. Why don't you give them some of your money there, Benny? Please, honestly, what nerve. Okay, here's Benny. Now, this was another thing I thought was very odd. Remember Pope John Paul? He passed away a few years ago. Well, Benny Hinn goes to the funeral. Now, why would you want to go to a funeral of a pope? Why? But yet, there was Benny on CNN. And Benny, he went to the funeral.
Well, they're searching for answers. People are very hungry for God. And this is a very moving moment for me. I just attended a special service, a memorial service here in the Vatican. I was moved to tears as I saw people hungry for God. And this is a very, very special day in the history of Christianity, where you see the hunger for God so intense worldwide, Carol.
Well, let me ask you this, Jenny. Alessio Vici, our correspondent, talked to many of these pilgrims standing in line. Most say they do not attend church or follow the church's teaching. Might this event change that?
Well, I believe it's going to, you know. You see what's going on Earth today, the troubles, the questions, the fears that people have. And I think just there's a change happening. And what this dear Pope John Paul II, has done is he has made us aware of the fact we need God. And like I said, you see these crowds here, and what happened here just once again, it's such a clear sign that people around the world are turning to God by the million.
But you know what, Betty? I would suppose that many people reach into organized religion and take what they want from it and discard the rest.
Yeah, he went to Rome, and he went to a personal memorial service. He was invited by the people there at the Vatican to this personal memorial service for the dead pope. And he says that, I thought I had loaded this clip that I got from when he was on TBN, and he was bragging that he went to the Vatican and he went to this private service, and he was sitting there and the cardinals were walking by him saying, Benny Hinn, oh, yeah, we want what you have. Oh, yeah, Benny, we want what you have. Yeah, sure. I guarantee you, not in a million years would a cardinal walk by me and tell me he wanted what I had, except, you know, if he wanted to know how to be saved, then I could say, yes, you must be born again. But he's not going to tell me that he likes my preaching. Especially when I go after the Catholic Church saying that Jesus lives in a wafer. No, they're not going to ask. They're not going to tell me they like my preaching, that's for sure. They love Benny Hinn. Oh, yeah, Benny, we love you. I'm not too sure Benny's not Catholic himself. I'll tell you, I'm not too sure he's not Catholic himself. And at the end of this CNN clip, which I saw on the day, this was a few years ago, and I saw this interview that he did on CNN, and at the end of the clip, he tells the reporter, he tells her that his ministry now, he took ministry money that people had sent into his ministry, and he produced a video documentary on the life of Pope John Paul. For what? For what? The Catholic Church is a false religious system. And I know I was Catholic for the first 12 years of my life. I went to private Catholic school. And we were taught the catechism every day. We had a religion class before school started. We had to sit there and read the catechism and recite it. So I know about Catholicism. I was there. And I was never saved. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know how to be born again. The only way I knew how to be born again was to be baptized. But I never thought as a Catholic, and I stopped being a Catholic when I was about 12 because there was so much hypocrisy telling us, they told us the priests represented God on the earth and the priests were a bunch of reprobates, let me tell you. So I could hardly reconcile the fact that they represented God, because that was some kind of funny God they were representing, that's for sure. I never thought that I could die and go, when I died, I would go to heaven. I figured I'd probably make purgatory. And then when I could get people to pray for me after I was dead to get me out of purgatory and say masses for me and whatever. No, it's weird. Did you ever? I remember one time driving into a Catholic church. I was in Germany and I was driving down the road and there was this big, huge cathedral in this small village. So I said, let me go in there. I'd like to see this, the architecture. So I go in there and I'm looking at this place. And as I walk in the door, there's two glass coffins. And inside the coffin is two skeletons dressed like the skeletons had these fancy clothes on. I'm thinking to myself, like, this is weird. Who wants to go into a church and see two skeletons in glass coffins? No, that's not a church, okay? No, that is not Christianity. We're not supposed to be worshiping dead men's bones, that's for sure. So, no, Benny, you're messed up, Benny, you're messed up. Benny Hinn's messed up. And God only knows what's going to happen, but you can follow the story as it progresses. I mean, it should get very interesting because, like I said, the IRS, the federal government, the postal inspector, they don't just come to your house and knock on the door unless they have some kind of evidence. They can't do it. They can't even get a search warrant unless they can prove to a judge that they have some kind of evidence against you. So there's something going on there. And someone stated this the other day that I don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict it, so I'm not going to try. But Jim Baker went to jail for basically the same thing that the postal inspectors were looking for with Benny Hinn. Jim Baker actually had 8 counts of mail fraud against him, and that was one of the counts that sent him to prison. Well, 8 counts against him that sent him to federal prison for 5 years. So who knows what's going to happen, really? I mean, who knows what's going to happen? But I guarantee you that the other so-called ministries are shaking in their boots right now and trying to get their filing cabinets together and destroying their computer hard drives or whatever. You know, but isn't it so much better to try to lead a good, honest life of integrity, and you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about anybody coming to try to take you away if you're doing what's right. Isn't it much easier just to serve God and to be happy with what you have and to be content, because godliness with contentment brings great gain, the Bible says. So isn't it much better to serve the Lord and to do everything God's way than to try to do it your own way? Because sooner or later you're going to get found out. And it's not going to be fun. See, Benny was so arrogant because he had a heart attack and he almost died, and he had every opportunity to get his life right and to take time off from his so-called ministry and to read the Bible and to find out what it says, and then to come back and repent to the body of Christ and to come back and tell people the truth of what the Word of God says. But instead, what does he do? He goes right back to scamming and having the worst scam artist you can imagine he brings on his program. Continual scamming of people in the name of Jesus. It's despicable, because if you're any kind of minister of the gospel, you care about people's eternal destiny. You care about where they're going to go after they leave this earth, as far as what did you tell them, as far as the way you presented the gospel to them. Did you present the gospel to them truthfully, or did you present the gospel to them deceitfully just because you wanted something? So we have to do things with integrity and not with deceit, because in the end, it's costly. It could cost you your eternal life, and you could have eternal death if you don't serve God and do what's right. Isn't it a tragedy, though, really? Isn't it a tragedy that of all the people that are surrounding Benny Hinn and his wife and his children, could somebody sit him down and tell him the truth? Does somebody care about this man enough to tell him what the truth is? And just like the prophet Nathan did to David, he pointed to him and said, "Thou art the man." So that's what we're saying to Benny. Benny, you're the man, Benny. You're the man. You're the man that needs to clean up his act. Don't blame anybody else. Don't blame the government or the haters or anybody else, because you're the devil in this case. You're the devil. Don't even blame the devil, because it's not the devil, it's you. So that's the word for Benny Hinn today, is Benny, repent. And to all my listeners too, same thing. The Bible says in the third chapter of John, you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. You must repent of your sins. The book of Romans says confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You must confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have. There's none righteous, no, not one. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven in a body. He's a real person. He's real. He's a real God. He's a real God that loves us. He laid down his life for us so we could have eternal life, and we could have a home in heaven one day when we leave this earth behind us. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? There's no profit there. There's no profit. Repent of your sins today, whether you're suicidal, whether you're on drugs, or you're an alcoholic. Jesus Christ can help you. He can save you and deliver you from your sins. He's the only one that can. He's the only one that can. I want to thank everybody for listening today. And everybody that stopped by in the chat room, thank you, all our listeners around the world. And special thanks to Jackie Almore of Rapture Ready Radio for putting our show on there. We're so grateful. And we want to thank God for this broadcast. And for all our listeners, okay? God bless you. We'll be back next week, okay? Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne.